Father, I know your word, and I know it's true. I can do everything it says I can do. I am what it said I am. And I have everything it says I have. In Jesus' name, amen. Now pay attention, I may call on you at any time. Pay attention, Samson and Goliath, huh? It's David and Goliath. And David was a stoner. Did you know that?
What up, Bo?
For all you guys, I'll let you let that sink into your head. I got a million of them. Okie dokie. If you would turn to Revelation 2, verses 18 through 29, today's title is Thyatira, the corrupt church. We've been learning about the letters that Christ has been sending out, and this letter here is the longest letter written to the smallest city. Amen? There was a lot of problems in this church. This is Christ speaking, and he says, write this letter to the angel of the church of Thyatira. This is the message from the Son of God, whose eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like polished bronze. I know all the things you do. I have seen your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance. And I can see your constant improvement in all these things. But I have this complaint against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they repent and turn away from her evil deeds. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person. And I will give to each of you whatever you deserve. But I have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira who have not followed this false teaching, the deeper things, the deeper truths as they call them, the depths of Satan in actuality. I will ask nothing more of you except that you hold tightly to what I have till I come. To all, to all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. Anyone who has ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to all the churches. Thyatira, corrupt church. This thing's bugging me already. That's better. We have seen three churches already that Christ has examined. And the bottom line is the lampstand. The lampstand is the earmark of the light of the gospel going forth from that church into that city. And we have to understand that no church is perfect. So those who are church hopping, you're going to go to an imperfect church. But this church was worse than any of them in that it was totally corrupt. Some of the history on Thyatira is that it's roughly 40 to 45 miles due east of Pergamum. And we learned last week that Pergamum was a city that held with the guilds, or the unions that I refer to today, that were controlled and manipulated. The guilds, and what they had was they would carry on idolatry within their own temples. And all who participated in that were assured that they would find work and employment and therefore be prosperous and take care of their families whole nine yards. We saw that also Christians who named the name of Christ did not submit themselves to this, and that church in Pergamum suffered tremendously. This church did not. And not only did this church not refuse that, it willingly participated in false teachings. It willingly participated in hedonistic practices that's affiliated with paganism and emperor worship. And because of it, Christ is very, very angry with this particular church. And the difference between Pergamum and Thyatira is that Pergamum was given the ultimatum to repent. Thyatira had already been given it. And there were believers within this structure that were standing for Christ. And I believe that these believers here were telling those make-believers to repent and get their lives right. I believe that those believers, as what Christ was saying, was putting nothing else on them. They were struggling like nobody else's business to endure patiently the coming of Christ and have to endure the temptations and the hypocrisy of people's lives in order so that they themselves could reap the benefits of compromise. This church, or this city, also had a temple built unto Apollo. Apollo, according to Greek mythology, was the son of Zeus. And so there was tremendous idol worship. And I believe this is why Christ signified that he is the son of God here, to stipulate the difference between the son of Zeus and the son of God. This was not Apollo speaking. This was the king speaking, who is above all gods. And so what we see here is, again, the description of Christ. His eyes are flaming of fire, and his skin tone is a bronze, talking about judgment and penetration of the intensity of how he is scrutinizing the church that is there. All signifying how at this time God is intensely scrutinizing the church in modern times. I believe this. Just like he's scrutinizing all the churches throughout the world. Because not everybody who is in the church is going to get raptured out of here. And to base your salvation on thinking that you can get saved and continue your life the way you think, you are deceived. And these people were tremendously deceived. Now, why were they deceived? Well, they were deceived because they had a prophet in there, Jezebel. And we've heard about Jezebel. We've heard about how she was a high priest of a pagan religion. She married Ahab. And because Ahab was a corrupt king, soon was given over to the hedonistic practices of Baal worship. And thereby led the whole nation of Israel into total corruption, leading Israel away from God. This is exactly the same thing that Balaam did when he told Balak how to corrupt Israel as Israel was passing through to go into the promised land. And this teaching is in the church today in such a way that you can have both things. You can have your foot in the world, and you can have your foot in Christ, and God will forgive you. God will, if you do not repent, and this is the truth that we as the church must understand, if they do not repent, if we do not repent, we are in dire destruction. It's important that we understand that this church was so corrupt, it did not value its purity and sanctification unto Christ. It was not only a compromising church, it was a full-blown church that it was only in Christ by name, thereby losing its value and integrity as to what Christ was standing for and why Christ came. This church was a very dangerous church to the New World because of its compromise, and because it embraced other faiths. It embraced those teachings so that we may be able to reach out to them and convert them to Jesus Christ. We know that that only wreaks pollution, lies, and deception. And this church didn't realize it. They were calling themselves Christ, but really, They were living for themselves. They were totally, totally selfish in their demeanor and how they conducted themselves in public. And the church today must place a high value on its purity. And we see that purity is translated into how we treat our women. And you may say, how is that possible? I'm glad you asked that. You guys will catch up. The reason why the church is so polluted is because there isn't a high value on sanctity of life, the purity of the word, and the purity of one's well-being. Because men are not who they should be, and because men basically are males, they're looking for their own gratification, thereby telling women that they love them, only to be gratified, and then forget about them. And what's happening today, this is really what's really mind-blowing to me, is that these young guys are creating these harems so that if this one refuses sexual favors, they just move on to the next one. There is no commitment. It's just for their gratification. And who cares if they pop out 4, 5, 6 different kids? They don't care as long as they're being gratified. And when I go to church, I'm a good church-going believer in Jesus Christ. That's not how it's supposed to be. That's not how it's going to be, because the church of Jesus Christ is going to be without spot or wrinkle. And this is why Christ is examining the churches, even today, in examining our hearts. Where are we today with Jesus Christ? And hopefully all of us are prayed up and purged from our sins, and we're moving into maturity and all. But I want you to understand that there are deadly attractions that are within the church of Jesus Christ, as it was in this church at Thyatira. And because there is not an overemphasis of purity, spiritual purity, anything that's done in the body, Christ looks at as spiritual adultery. Sex outside of marriage, any kind of sex outside of marriage, is spiritual adultery, because what's going on the inside is manifested on the outside. What we do, and if we do it and don't repent of it, how do we expect God to bless us? We have built up this wall of resistance that we have done, not God, and yet we're still crying out to God that we're Christians and we believe that He wants to do all this stuff. And yet these teachings that are coming in, and people are buying them, is just for the gratification of the saints. Not only did the church embrace these teachings, they tolerated the individuals who were bringing the false teachings. And we've had people come in from time to time in the past that have brought teachings, and I've had to speak to them afterwards. Thank you, but no thank you. Do not come back. Why? Because they didn't line up. Either the word didn't line up or their lives didn't line up. And I'm not looking for abject purity, but I am looking for certain elements of truth to be in a person's life. You can't tell me that you're a believer propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ and you're conducting yourself contrary behind the scenes. You see, Jesus sees everything that's going on. He sees what's going on in your life. He sees what's going on in my life. And when He lays His finger down on Gomez and He says, look, I need this to be changed, we can either acknowledge, yes, Lord, and make the changes and repent of it and get it under the blood, or we can pretend we never heard God. This church not only pretended it didn't hear God, it continued on saying it was God to be immoral. All the while leading people away from Jesus Christ, leading Him from setting them free, leading them from cleaning them up, getting them healed, getting them delivered, making them whole again. To believe that any sex outside of marriage is okay is to be totally deceived. Why? Because someone always gets hurt. Someone always gets hurt through this activity. First of all, it hurts God because it demonstrates just how selfish and immature we are. Remember the Jimmy prayers? Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name's Jimmy. Well, that's how this church was acting. This church was conducting itself very immorally, only to demonstrate how immature and how uncommitted to Jesus Christ they are. Second, it hurts others because it violates the commitment required to in building healthy relationships. I love her, but I just can't marry her. Now, you lust after her and don't want to commit to her. Why should I buy the cow when I can get it for nothing? Get the milk for nothing? I mean, I've heard these things, and it's like, it just tears my heart up that you look at this person in such a demeaning way, and you don't even realize what you're saying. And for a young lady to oh, I love him, and you know what? If I don't, he'll leave me. Let him go. He's not worth it. She's not worth it. What's more important, your commitment to Jesus Christ and remaining pure before Him, or to sell yourself for a bag of goods that is already polluted and rotten? And God sees this, and He wants to deliver us and keep us from hurting ourselves. And it pains Him to see His children do this to themselves. It hurts the individual who's perpetrating this type of behavior because it brings in diseases into them. There are so many sexual transmitted diseases today that they can't keep up with the metamorphosis of them. They are progressing and changing as quickly as they can find another drug. Today, syphilis and gonorrhea of the throat is the number one STD amongst females. And it is becoming that with the homosexual community now. Oral sex is not sex. That's what they try to convince them. We're not having sex. Why? It's because one person is being gratified at the expense of someone else? I mean, who wants to play Russian roulette with that kind of nonsense? And this church was doing this. And it's happening in the church today. And we've got to be strong enough and brave enough to say to these people, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is self-destructive. What you're doing is in total degradation to yourself and who the person of Jesus Christ wants you to be. I don't believe that stuff. Well, then Jesus said that, you know, those who are teaching such things and those who are willingly participating in these things will be thrown down into a bed of sickness. Judgment. Do you know that continuation in immoral behavior can and having STDs going can make you sterile? That you can't have children? The truth. You know, you're just saying that, Pastor. I'm not saying it. It's a medical fact. There are sexual diseases out there that can eat your brain if not treated. And the treatment in itself is not enough. You must repent. Get it under the blood and stop doing it. Fourthly, it destroys families, churches, and communities because of the destruction of personal integrity. Are you a person that just says things to be convenient to get what you want? Do you know people who will tell you what you want to hear just so that they can get what they want? And this church was unbridled and blatant in its sin. It flaunted it. It was like this badge of acceptance and courage in society. We are not to be influenced by society and its trends and its modes. We are to influence it, change it. We are the vehicle that God has chosen, the church, worldwide, to change a corrupt world and allow His kingdom to come and manifest itself in truth, righteousness, and purity. And this church was none of them, and it was probably much worse than I could even imagine. The believers that were there were doing all they could to maintain themselves, and that's why Christ did not put more on them. And he doesn't put more on us. But what he's saying is, keep it going. You're growing in faith. You're growing in your endurance. You're growing in your love for each other. This is great. But it's not enough. You've got to rid yourself of sin. And Christ has paid the price for sin. He has paid for our crimes of sin. And in that payment of crime for sin, he has empowered us who believe to overcome sin. So that shouldn't even be a foregone conclusion in our I just don't have the power. Yes, you do. Are you born again? Yes. Well, then you have the power. You just don't understand. I'm weak in this area. I know. So why do you put yourself into becoming tempted in all these things? Get yourself around people that will protect you, look after you, care for you. Tell you you're not going, not to go in that way, not to follow that individual, not to be a party to this nonsense. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ, it's not just my job to protect you from yourselves. It's all our job. It's all our job. If I tell you I love you, and I tell you I love you, and I demonstrate it by telling you this is going to be harmful to you. But if you tell somebody you love them, and you know they're going down the wrong path, and you don't tell them, you don't really love them. Well, I'll lose them as a friend. They were never your friend. They're your friend if they listen to what you're saying to them. See, we don't make friends in this world. We make disciples. The only friend we have is Jesus. Everything else comes under heading of family. You're either part of the family or you're not part of the family. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. We have the solution. Jesus Christ. But I just don't want to hear about it. Well, maybe your approach to it is wrong. You know, when I was a young believer, I used to Bible thump people. I mean, Bible thump. And then I realized, you know what, I'm chasing them away from God. I want them to come to God. I want them to see God. And so I didn't Bible thump them anymore. I changed my tactic. I began to understand that to be a believer meant to be relational. Not that I did the same things as they did, but I would stand on my standards. I can't do that. I can't do drugs anymore with you. Why? Because it's an offense to my Father. Your Father won't know. My Father sees everything. My Father is in heaven, and He sees everything. You know, He saved me from myself. Whatever. And you find out that they walk away. That's fine. But I stood my ground. And every once in a while when I see them, I see them, and they're like walking dead people. They're still in drugs. They're emaciated. How you doing? Man, you look great. Well, how you doing? Oh, man, you know, I'm really terrible. Got divorced. Kids don't want nothing to do with me. You know, I just got out of prison. What happened? Well, you know, for drugs. How come you're doing so well? I got out of drugs. And Christ found me. And I live my life for Christ now. Really? Yeah, really. You know, I'm a pastor now, and God has seen me to be faithful. And no way, man. You can't be a pastor. Okay, I'm not. But I am. Do you remember? And it's like, I let them bring back memory lane, but I don't remember. Truthfully, I don't remember. Because that part of my life is gone. I'm a new creation. I only go back to the cross. Anything on the other side of the cross, I don't remember. My new life starts at the cross. So if you're living in the past, then you're not past the cross. For us that are growing past that, we understand that. Those of us who will overcome, those of us who are victorious in maintaining our position, our purity, our integrity, our principles. Jesus makes some wonderful promises to us. He promises us that He will give us a rod of iron to rule the nations. Turn to Isaiah 30. I just want you to see what Jesus is saying through the prophet. Isaiah 30, starting in verse 12, and we'll read to verse 14. We there? Isaiah 30, 12 through 14. And it says, "Therefore, this is what the Holy One of Israel says, because you have rejected this message, relied on oppression, and depended on deceit, this sin will become for you a high wall, cracked and bulging, that collapses suddenly in an instant. It will break in pieces like pottery, shatter in so mercilessly that among its pieces not a fragment will be found for taking coals from a hearth or scooping water out of the cistern." The Lord's talking about people who want to maintain this lifestyle. They want to be called Christians, but they're maintaining their lifestyle. Remember I was saying about this wall that they're building up? Our sin will separate us from God. God's on the other side of the wall saying, "What are you doing?" And so we're laying brick by brick up there. And if we don't repent, this wall is going to stay there. Those of us who understand about the victory and we prize our purity and we prize our principles and stuff that God has given to us are going to have this rod that He's going to give to us, and we're going to bust these walls down, but not to set people free. The wall of judgment will come upon them. Because He gives this to us at the end. He says, "All those who overcome, if you're faithful to the end, will receive this." Judgment is coming upon this planet. And those of us who maintain our purity and maintain our sanctified lifestyles, and I'm not saying that what we do is totally separate ourselves from the world like the Amish do or other cults do, you know. But let us be smart about how we conduct ourselves. Let us no longer embrace these teachings that say it's okay to sin. It's not okay. I've given you four reasons why it's not okay. Let us go on and receive this authority that Christ has given to us. And also understand that He's going to give us the morning star. What is the morning star? The morning star is the last star in the sky before dawn breaks. What I believe this is speaking of is that in giving this morning star, He is the bright morning star, Christ is. And He is going to come when the world is at its darkest, when it's at its coldest, and He's going to burst on the scene where every eye is going to see Him as He is, in all glory, in all majesty. And the beauty of it is, we're going to be with Him. We're going to come in there like the Calvary, only we're not the Calvary. We're just the witnesses of watching what the King is going to do to those who do not believe that the end is here, that do not believe that judgment is coming. And God Himself cannot bring judgment upon the world until He brings judgment with us. Judgment begins in the house of God. I want to just end with this, guys, that, you know, if there's areas of compromise, and I pray there isn't any compromise in our lives, but if there is, the opportunity is now. Why? Today is announced today. You don't want to wait. Because you'll forget. You want to seize the opportunity in a lifetime of that opportunity. When that opportunity goes, you won't have that opportunity again. Maybe. You might. But Pastor, you just don't understand. No, I do understand. I'm made out of the same materials. I suffer under the same duress as you do. But one thing I do know is Christ died for me when I should die. And because He died for me and paid for my sins, it's all the more important for me to maintain my purity and sanctification. No one else can do it for me. I am responsible. You must take responsibility for your lives. Doesn't matter if you're 15 years of age, 5 years of age, 55 years of age. You're responsible. And taking that responsibility and saying, you know what, I heard what you said today, Pastor, and I'm going to do that, is the beginning of you growing up. It's receiving the Word in childlike faith, not childish, but childlike faith, in order to grow up in those things that God has for us. We are going to be entering into a realm that's going to require so much more of us to remain pure. We are going to see God do wonderful things in our lives and do wonderful things through us. But it's going to be by His command, not by us. What He's saying to us is that those of us who are winning this battle, maintaining our purity and sanctification, He's not going to put nothing else on us. The reward is great. That we're going to come with Him and we're going to judge with Him those nations that didn't believe, those heathens that made fun of us, that ridiculed us, that punished us, that beat us, that threw us in jail, they shot and killed us, they burned our bodies, they cut our heads off. So you're going to have to start thinking differently. Because this world, this nation, is becoming even more hostile towards us than you really realize. And you only have as much freedom as this government's going to let you have. And this government is swallowing up those freedoms faster than you can ever believe. We are not of this nation. We are of a kingdom far more powerful, far more greater, which requires so much more of us. And until that day of Jesus Christ comes, it's worth it. It is worth it. He's worth it. But you know what? So are you. That's why He died for you and for me. Amen? Father, we just thank You for this Word. We thank You, God, that You show us an illustration of a totally corrupt church that would not repent. A church that had believers in it, Lord, and sustained tremendous persecution, God. But nothing compares to the persecution as judgment that You will bring. Lord, forgive us. Let us be bold as lions, God, and stand up for the cause of Jesus Christ. But allow us, Father, to understand there are different modes and tactics that we can use to encourage people, to share with people the glorious gospel that You have given to us. And Lord, we know we're going to make mistakes, and You understand that, and You know that. But as we practice and perfect our techniques, Lord, that You would empower us more and more. That You would empower us with boldness. That You would empower us with even a greater sound mind. That You would empower us, God, with tremendous courage. That, God, our eyes would not be fixed on the events of today or what's going on in the world, God. Because Your kingdom is not affected by any of it. So, God, help us to affix our hearts, our minds, and our very life on the kingdom to come, that our will not be done, but Yours, as it is in heaven, God, be done on earth. I thank You for Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.